Blog Talk Radio.
Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Aluwa Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun, to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun, to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe-o.
Ashe-o. Welcome back to Time of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Time of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights and New Power Radio Network. We began the UAC and New Power Radio Network after the unjust Sherman verdict of July 2013, and we invite you to support us and our sponsors, Manhood, Race, and Culture, headed up by Dr. James Jones. You can find Dr. Jones on Facebook as well as on the World Wide Web at manhoodraceculture.com. Also, support our burden of unity, divine unity, is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. You can find Getter Ellie on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at unitydesign.com. And last but not least, we want to always, always, always never forget to remember our brothers and sisters who are behind enemy lines and the family and loved ones and friends that they represent. So please reach out to Unheard Voices, the Free Alabama Movement, and the Free Ohio Movement, respectively, on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at freealabamamovement.com and freeohiomovement.org. So I just want to really quickly thank everybody for their continued love and support of Sign of the Times, of myself, Ashton Tahir, host of New Power Radio Network and Sign of the Times. We've got a lot going on, everybody, and I couldn't be more excited about what 2019 holds for not only the efforts that we're putting forth on the ground here in Cincinnati, on the air, here on New Power Radio Network, and in the various communities and behind enemy lines especially. We have had two successful publications of Bars Beyond Bars, which you can find on Amazon. Bars Beyond Bars is a magazine produced and produced for, by, and about those who are serving time, if you will, and those who have served time in this treacherous, unjust system that we are faced with every day. And so we are in 29 different states now, with contacts in every state. So things are expanding. And we also have an effort moving forward to recognize African-American women coming up in March of 2019. And those who are interested in getting involved in that, it is not a feminist movement. It is strictly about us as African-American women taking back our power, taking back our communities, and supporting our brothers and our children in their efforts, and they vice versa supporting us in exchange. So we're looking forward to having the Greater Cincinnati event here in Cincinnati, March the 2nd. There's going to be events going on nationally. And so if you want information about what's going on in 2019, in reference to 1619, and the celebration of Black women, keep listening here to Time of the Times. Also reach out to us again on Facebook. Myself is Queen Tahira, New Power Radio Network, and Sign of the Times, and on the World Wide Web at signofthetimes@gmail.com. And you can find us again on the social media, Queen_Tahira on Instagram. So welcome back, everybody. We're excited to have Brother Confidence Chizuru Okeke, and I hope I pronounced that right, correctly. I'm sure he's going to correct me if I didn't. Welcome here to Sign of the Times to talk about, you know, what's going on, not only here, but in the efforts to unite us as melanated people throughout the diaspora. So, welcome, Brother Chizuru. Please introduce yourself to the listeners and Sign of the Times.
Hello. Thanks for having me. My name is Confidence Chizuru Okeke, and I'm a member of the UNIA ACL and the Igbo cultural groups of West Africa. I'm glad to be on here and talk about some important issues.
I say, we've often heard it said that no matter where we are, that often our struggles are the same. And so tell us some of the things that you've learned as you are on this journey to build with brothers and sisters throughout the diaspora. And what has that meant to you so far, just in the learning experience itself?
It's been it's had its ups and downs. It's been more good than bad, I'd say. But it is true that we got similar issues across the world. But one thing I'm noticing right now that the USA, people in the USA are pretty much the key piece organizing people in the USA, because it is unique here in that in the USA, more than any other place, Black people don't have land, so it's harder to organize masses of people than any other place. In any other place, in Jamaica, you could go to some places have whole Black cities that have been owned for generations using a traditional African government system. Brazil, same thing. Cuba, I think, I don't know if they have land in Cuba, but basically the USA is the most most the least organized in terms of land ownership and the traditional way of organizing Africa. And what's going on in Africa, a lot of people are talking about reorganizing the continent, having a United States of Africa. And the debate going on is what political system we're going to use. And a lot of the grassroots people are saying we should use we should revamp the traditional system and update it and see how we can work together based on our common roots. And it's mostly the youth doing this. The older generation, some of them are still stuck on religion and democratic politics, which was brought to us by pirates and invaders. But mostly it's the youth driving this, reorganizing Africa using our roots. And I'm looking forward to building with the diaspora and on this forefront.
Okay, now when we speak about, I guess, the fact that on the surface it may appear that the United States has all these opportunities, that it's the land of riches. I mean, people are walking, right now, trying to get here. What have you learned that is the majority of the reason why there's such a deficit in compared to, where we should be as a group of people, comparatively speaking to where we are? Is it because of politics, gentrification? Is it because of us as people not sticking together? What has been our biggest hang-up that you've learned so far?
Biggest hang-up? Really, I would say, just from me being a student of history, what happened during the transatlantic slave trade was that people were kidnapped from different spots in Africa, different groups. And in trying to connect with their roots, a lot of people went to different spots. Some people said they were from Israel. Some people said they were from Ashanti land. Some people said they're from this place and that place. And basically you got a whole bunch of different groups with their own different hierarchies, different chains of command, and it's hard to get together. And I didn't even mention the political system of voting, Democrats, Republicans, Independent, all that. So there are different chains of command that people follow. So you can't organize. You can't organize that way or unify that way. It has to be one chain of command, one order. And people who got different chains of command, they just go their own way. But what hasn't been tried is the Igbo system. It's based on land ownership. It's more egalitarian or horizontal in power structure. It's not a bloodline monarchy or anything like that. So it's more congruent with what the diaspora needs, especially in the USA. And the population size allows for the diaspora, a large number of the diaspora, to be absorbed into the Igbo systems, which is made of different or various ethnic, sub-ethnic groups. So we're looking at the diaspora being absorbed into Africa via using the Igbo systems and being anchored in those, as opposed to any of the other groups that are more monarchy-based and bloodline and really, really rigid. It's more flexible. So that's what we're looking at.
When you speak of Igbo, is that a culture? Is that a society? Is that a government? What exactly does that mean?
Well, the Igbo, the word Igbo itself, it means irrigated land or blackened land. So it's basically a language group or semi-cultural group, sort of. It's similar to Yoruba, Akan, that region. Is just that their system is more based on villages, a lot of villages, and they never became an empire. Especially some point in time, all these various kingdoms and city-states and villages became lumped in as Igbo. But during a transatlantic or the pre-colonial period, they were sometimes at war with each other, village to village or state by state. But in modern times, they've developed unions, quasi-governments, And basically what we're at right now is a point where people want to get their own state in Africa. But what some of us are interjecting is the need to connect with the diaspora and the rest of Africa, not go to the United Nations or non-black people to try and organize states and partnerships. So we're saying if we're going to have a state, we should organize it under Garveyism or the UNIAACL principles. We should rebuild ourselves from that foundation as well as our traditions.
Okay. For those who may not be familiar with who Marcus Garvey is, and I find that hard to believe, but we can't take anything for granted, especially when you speak by the fact that there are, you know, the younger generation leading this move. What examples are you using that are positive that Brother Garvey left, and what are some of the mistakes that you know that you can't afford to repeat again?
Oh, so basically what you're asking is which mistakes in history that we don't want to repeat?
No, what exactly about Garveyism that made this model, you know, combined with...
One of the mistakes was the business structure that he had was he attached... the businesses to his the governmental organization. So when one of the businesses slipped up, they pretty much sunk the whole organization, the whole government. So that's been changed. The original format, they were promoting a lot of Christianity and churches as the basis of organizing people and taking it over to Africa with their own. A lot of people were fighting over religion in the organization at that time. With the universities and research that people have done on African science and metaphysics, that kind of research has pretty much made the church element in the UNIA disappear. And also, the UNIA earlier was infiltrated easily because I think there wasn't they were trying to build a traditional African community system, but they weren't really familiar with those systems. So they would be having like dukes, duchesses, and princes and princesses. But I think to a certain degree, that lack of really knowing what they were doing led to a lot of infiltration. I think in this iteration, we're going to have a tighter vetting system because we're using time-tested systems. And usually, when we're talking about these systems that exist in the Igbo system or any other African system, they're basically organized families, similar like to the mob, but it's tight, it's more tight knit and less, it's harder to infiltrate. Basically, every African government is a organized family dating back to Kemet, Kush, Nubia, all those Akan states. They're organized family systems. So that's why a lot of them people are scared of them. But they're tight.
So for those that are listening that may be curious about how often you meet, is there a regular meeting process? How do people get involved? And is this strictly...
I didn't catch that last part. The last sentence you said, the last question.
Is it all strictly melanated people that are involved in the movement?
Oh, well, yes, because this is basically what we're at this stage. We're rebuilding the UNIA. Trying to get more membership, more conscientious Africans involved. And back homeward, what I've been doing is networking with the specific African groups that are the largest groups in Africa, basically. I know a lot of people say there's like 1,000 different tribes in Africa, but really it's not, it really isn't. It's a couple of like maybe 4 or 5 big groups that you need to organize together, and the rest of Africa will follow because the gravity of the economics that they'd be doing would be so heavy that everybody else would have to fall in line. But yeah, people in Africa are basically, they're already organized to a certain degree based on the traditional system or the heritage. They're all black usually. the UNIA, basically the charter, the charter says that everybody, to be a member, you have to be a African person or Negro. Black Negro. I like saying a Bantu. That's the indigenous word for Black African. Bantu. But that's what I like saying.
Okay. A Bantu. Okay. Can you talk about organizing? Okay, because, you know, you shared with me this locally, too. Sometimes you have a hard time even meeting in a place where it's supposed to be safe, you know, being involved in our local churches or being involved in our children's schools, you know, making PTA parent meetings or things like that, community councils. You know, we really aren't as community driven in the United States as we once were. How are we going to get people to, find the time even to be committed to such a massive undertaking?
That's the hardest part. But basically, we're going to have to use an economic system that employs us. And some members of the UNIA ACL have developed this. I know that's how I first met you, but I don't know if you knew that there are UNIA ACL members that were developing it, because I didn't know. But the group that we're in is called Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. And basically, it's an economic system. It's a new economic system where people who put their money in, they create capital for businesses to be developed in local areas. And basically, the more people you get invested in the system, the more people you can employ. It's more of a long-term plan to get people more employed and more independent. But as far as meeting in the short term, what I've been looking at is basically internet communications or phone communications, because just driving, all that takes a long time. You know, people economically are not in a position to do that. If they want to organize basically like a new division of the UNIA ACL, it only takes 7 people to receive a charter. And then under that charter, you can start a chapter. So that'd be basically a subdivision, and that subdivision could be what we've been talking about with the Igbo system. But the UNIA ACL is basically for any African. So if you start this chapter of the Igbo system, and we've been calling it the Ndi Nsoroku, which means the Holocaust descendants. So under this UNIA ACL system, you could have a Holocaust descendants chapter, and then you can take that chapter and go to other African communities, like immigrants, and recruit them into the UNIA ACL and to do business back home. And then you never know, if you're doing something good, some benefactors might come, give you resources back home, or you get a voice on a council back home. And that's how we get more resources and get more employment. More things start opening up in forms of politics, because we have a community base now, a political base, with the Ndi Nsoroku or Holocaust descendants chapter. So basically, it's got to be about economics and holding people accountable, chain of command. But it's not something that happens overnight.
That's for sure. So how long has this been going on, Brother Kizura? How long have you been organizing?
Basically, I've been organizing for like a year. But I've been researching all this for maybe 10 years. And this is like the final iteration of what I've been researching. And I finally moved to a predominantly African area. I used to live in California. I didn't have that much opportunities to organize a network or build economic or movements like this until maybe about 7 months ago when I moved out here to Florida. So now I've been just using my time to connect the dots and seeing some progress. But it's really funny. It's exciting because the last piece would be this Holocaust descendants organization that we're talking about that would be under the UNIS. And people in AFTA, they seem ready. They got their own network. A lot of them don't even know the UNIA is still around. But basically what the UNIA originally was, it was designed to be a traditional African empire. Its full name was the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities Imperial League when Garvey first wrote it up. So he was modeling the system after all the ancient empires of Africa, and he was trying to build something similar because he didn't see the kings in Africa stepping up. He didn't see the kings in Africa stepping up, so he said he's going to build something that can stand up to the imperialism. He's going to build his own empire. And this UNIA is the closest thing that we have to a traditional African system in the diaspora. So we're saying us in Africa will help bring our influence into it and our best brains, and we're going to get the best brains in the diaspora. So I'm going to synthesize something that's new but old at the same time. It's going to be the best mind.
I'd like to ask those that are listening on the phone, you can push one if you'd like to make a comment or ask a question to Brother Chichiro. If you're listening on your computer, you can dial in at 917-889-8059, 917-889-8059, and again, push one so I can open up the mic and bring you into two. Brother Chichiro, as you move forward, you've got a lot of things politically that are happening that, you know, some people believe that there's a reason to vote just based on principle, if nothing else. Some people feel like this entire system is corrupt, so corrupt that it has to be totally dismantled.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what to say.
Hold on. When we look forward with looking at the concept of the UNIA, is this going to be a political body, or is it going to be a separate body from what we see out here as the quote-unquote norm in this society?
Oh, well, yeah, the UNIA is a shared government. It's not into the political arena or Western. It's not into the political system per se. It's basically, let me see how I can describe it. Let's say you have a family, right? Or let's say extended family, grandma, all the kids, all the in-laws. That's what the UNIA ACL is supposed to be. It's not a Republican or Democratic thing where you vote for a leader. Basically, African people, black people coming together and saying this is our leadership. And this is our leadership for everybody in the world that's black. But on a more pragmatic level, I think that if we could get enough of these community associations and organizations that Africans already have, and we could join them into the UNIA, that's the ideal situation. You want a league of community associations. And the Holocaust descendants would be the final piece of, we just need to organize them, because I don't know if a lot of people know this, but when African immigrants come over here, they already have a lot of community associations and leagues and chapters that go across the state of the country. But it's really that you don't find any sort of African American association or any African diaspora association that's really overarching and going across the country. So That's really the final step.
So how will we be represented, I guess, considering that you know that the structure, even though it's corrupt, it's not going to crumble tomorrow. So what's the process going to look like for us, I guess, getting to that point?
Can you repeat that? It's kind of hard. It's kind of breaking up. I can't hear.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that any better?
Can you try again?
Yeah. How are we going to protect our best interests, considering that this is a politically charged environment here in the U.S., while this process is taking place with formulating, I guess reformulating, if you will, the UNIA?
I missed that middle part, but I think you said that.
How are we going to protect our best interests while we're in the process of developing the UNIA concept politically?
Well, politically, what everybody else does, or all the other immigrants do, they don't really, a lot of them don't run candidates. What they do is they organize their base or their community, whether it's a community association, they have meetings, and they organize an agenda between this community association. They don't really try to go outside the association. They try to go for only vetted members, and then that association operates as basically as its own interest group or nation, and that's what the Native Americans did. That's what the a lot of they got like things like Korean Grocers Association, and with this Holocaust Descendants Association, it wouldn't be any confusion that it wouldn't be any sort of hyphenated identity or a split consciousness, a split loyalty. You know, people can't be deported from the USA based on the history that's gone on here, as far as not having any country to call their own, but at the same time, we're not going to be saying we're going to have a clear loyalty. The UNIA has its own flag, its own oath of allegiance. And if you come into contact with a whole bunch of other Africans that are making the same pledge, if you're going to go into U.S. politics and U.S. loyalty and things like that nature, there has to be a concise understanding of what we're going into it for. And we have to come to agreement as a group before going into that. Or supporting that. And the whole thing of an organization is that you have an organized political voice or voice to speak on issues, not necessarily what you think of political. You have one unified voice, so everybody comes together and says, this is our stance on the issue, and they put it out there in the media, and that's how every other group does it. Not that that makes it right, but that's a very good to have a chain of command. And when you say like a black community or the African American community in general is basically a large population, it's not one organized body. So we have to create an organized body within that population that speaks for itself and see who gets with the agenda, and whoever doesn't, you just leave them behind. And as long as we're building the right thing, people will come along, the right people will come along.
Ashe, now you also mentioned that you're working with ULU, Us Lifting Us, and Baba Hatima, and those who are involved with that organization. So would people have to become a member of ULU before they can get involved with what you're doing?
I would say, I mean, why not? That's why I wrote it into the documents that yes, because I want us to have a clear, concise understanding that we're not trying to capitalize on black people as a market. A lot of the times, that's my issue with why a lot of these other unity movements don't work. They treat the black people or black community as like a market to sell products to, and they're not looking at it from a practical standpoint of organizing people and realizing that not everybody's going to be on the same agenda. So that's why we're stuck in neutral, control all black people. You can't see black people as a market for goods or a trillion-dollar market or nation or whatever. You got to be realistic about what it takes to move people. And I'm going to keep saying it, chain of command. There got to be a chain of command. And it's uplifting us. I like their model that what they're having is a shared economy. It's egalitarian. They're not trying to abuse people or make a million or a billion. They're trying to make it equilateral. So yeah, being rich, I heard somebody say this one, being rich or wealthy or successful would be everybody around you having $70,000 and you could borrow $1,000 here or $1,000 there. It wouldn't be one millionaire and then everybody else broke. Or would it would be more balanced. And that's what I like about Lulu.
Mm-hmm. How do people get in contact with you, Brother Chisoro, if they want to become involved?
Right now, they can contact me via email. My email is acluniachizoro@gmail.com. Or they can contact me on Facebook, Confidence Chizoro Okeke. Or they can get me, they can call or text me. My phone number right now is 951-425-0708.
Ashe. Now, is there any age restriction on, is there anybody that's too young or too old to get involved?
Let's see. I don't know. I got to check the United Constitution, to be honest. I don't know if it's, but I think if it's a family affair, maybe you could just send like a parent to scout it out and see what's going on. I don't think there's an age restriction though, but I'd have to check with the Constitution and the leadership.
I say. So where would we be with this concept? Should it be successful, say, 3 to 5 years from now, what will this look like?
I want people to be doing living in Africa and doing trade with Africa, people that stay over here, going back and forth, maybe not even Africa, maybe the Caribbean, but people going doing back and forth, doing trade missions, that sort of thing, pilgrimages, owning more businesses, and having our own media. But right now at this stage, what we would need is people who have the time and ability to register people, and basically the UNIA ACL, what we call them, division. But basically what it is that they used to operate similar to embassies, like the United Nations has embassies or consulates where you go to meet everybody and get what you need to build your own group up. So the UNIA ACL would be like a consulate or a town hall where all the organized African communities associations could come together and get their agenda done and do trade and build themselves up, basically. So we're looking at the consulate or embassy example as the model we want to go for when we receive a charter. But that's, at least that's what I've been discussing with some people I'm in contact with.
Ashe, someone asked me, it's their understanding that the UNIA was going through some growing pains not too long ago, within the past year. Have those growing pains been worked out, and does that type of thing inhibit or cause any loss of autonomy if people in different cities want to get involved that may not even have had a UNIA chapter yet?
For me, I don't know. There's been a lot of diaspora fighting. Like they want to fight over certain accusations that they have with each other. But to me, my whole thing is, if we have more people in the UNIA ACO, we can have eyes on what's in fighting, what's wrong. We have more voices at the table. But right now, to me, a lot of it is a distraction from uniting. Or organizing with people in Africa, especially the cultural groups that are most influential that we want the diaspora to join us. It's basically what I'm seeing in short is that people don't want to unite with people in Africa because the cultural change and the infighting that's going on over here that I've seen is petty. it's really people don't want the status quo to change for whatever reason. Maybe they like what's going on the day in, day out. Maybe somebody's paying them, but for me, I don't see any reason to be fighting over stuff that's been brought up to me. Because if I got a billionaire kings and financiers over here saying that they could finance you if you want to come over and build, then you better have a real good reason why you're having growing pains, so to speak, and can't come into contact or organize to meet them. So that's how I look at it. I say the mission don't stop.
Mm-hmm. So what else do you want the listeners to know about this movement? And, you know, it's just now starting, barely a year old. How can they, support you more, even if they may not want to directly get involved?
I don't got any sort of financial thing set up, but just if you want to, just hit me up on Facebook, Confidence Chiller Okeke, O-K-E-K-E. Just message me. I guess I'll look at the message, or you could text me or whatever. We'll see what we can do. But I'm trying to set it up so it's like a machine, and it doesn't really need me to function. That's my ideal, because I got a lot of other things going on. I actually came out to Florida for a sports opportunity, so I knew this was going to be a long-term project. Even short-term, I need to employ myself, but that sports thing didn't work out, so I don't have as much free time or influence as I thought I'd have. So if people got ideas how to make things more efficient, I'm open to them. If they could take things off and take things and run with them, I say go for it. Having a charter or getting a new division in your city, it takes a minimum of 7 people. You need a president to report to the president general or the higher authority. You need secretary to keep notes. And from there, you keep growing, you'll get a treasurer and things of that nature. And we actually have something called the World Igbo Congress, which is basically a sort of governmental voice for the Igbo people in Nigeria, who have like 50 million people around the world. And basically, if you look on the World Igbo Congress, you might see that you have a group near you or organization near you that you could touch bases with and connect with. But also, we're going to be building the UNIA ACL back home. We want to target the Yoruba group, the Igbo group, the Mande Empire, and the Bantu groups. So that's basically most of the continent. And we see them come together and build their networks up again. I think everything else will fall in place, but we want the diaspora at the outset involved in not only political change, economic change, but family reunion, that sort of thing.
Ashe, we've got a caller, and you want to open up a mic?
Yes, go ahead.
One moment. Last 4 digits, 5870. Welcome to Sign of the Times. Who are we speaking with?
This is Eugene. Good evening to both of you guys. Just have a question. What would you say is holding, because you mentioned, Queen mentioned infighting and the false looking at the UNIA. What would you say is the disconnect between the people from the motherland and the black people here? What would you say is been holding them back that from structuring that organization fully that it should be? And would it be you mentioned cultural differences, religious differences? And the reason I ask that is because I remember back in the 60s, I talked about unifying the black race and joining the United Nations to prosecute the U.S. for human relations. And one thing he talked about was the black man put his religion to the side. And so I'm just curious, was that one of the things that has created the challenges in fully structuring your organization? And with that, I yield.
You kind of we were breaking up. Could you kind of short phrase that question, please? And maybe it'll come in clearer.
Sure. My question was, what are the main challenges in fully structuring your organization? Because you mentioned it was the challenges from people from the black people over here versus the people from the motherland. And so my question was, what were some of the main challenges that you've had, that you've seen so far on your quest of building your organization?
Challenges. I really don't like to call them challenges, because in the Igbo system, you have something called a Nkenga Obo. It's similar to the concept of Geb you see in ancient Egypt, but basically it's the concept that you have the whole world in your hands and in your head. As long as you use your brain, there's always something around, a way around any sort of anything in front of you. So as far as maybe the main things I want to focus on right now, just getting the people that can, let's say, handle office positions, and basically the system that we're using is we want to take the USA and the states and organize like half the states on one side and half the states on the other side, and they'll have a leadership system where the two let's call them districts meet together, and the two mega states, let's say, have a Congress regularly, and they organize just basically like two mega states. But we need people that have the technocratic skills to handle something like that, or the organizing skills to handle something like that, and the heart and the rightful intentions to organize things and keep things in order. So I wouldn't say it's any challenges, but just things we need to focus on. Did I answer your question, or is there something else I could address better?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Right.
So, Brother Eugene, let me ask you this. Knowing what you know from the business perspective, Brother Eugene has business development and proposal development experience. What advice could you give to Brother Chizoro on some things that you know, just developing from an economic perspective, whether it be here, and especially if there's an opportunity? It's my understanding, because I've been a member of ULU, I actually introduced you to Brother Akima, Brother Chizoro. I've been a member of ULU, and I know that they're looking at port cities, for example, and there are a lot of port cities, and we as the African community aren't really aware of how to take advantage of the fact that a lot of us live in these port cities. What advice can you give him from a business perspective, especially since you know that being a revolutionary doesn't pay, and sustain ourselves throughout this process? And I yield.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say stick to your values, first of all. That goes without saying. And just keep networking and get with like-minded people. Because you're going to find out, I'm sure you're finding out, you're going to have, you know, those ups and downs. And quite a situation, you know, every day is not going to be easy. But I would say stick to what your vision is and make sure that vision is concrete throughout the whole process. Again, when you get in front of like-minded people, especially people with capital, and, you know, especially us as black people, the people who would fund you, you know, it was actually people who, you know, who wouldn't mind investing in you in that vision. But it's going to be difficult. It shouldn't be as difficult as it used to be, because you do have social media, you do have those platforms. But it's going to be difficult to Because what happens a lot of times when you meet people with that capital, they try to change the business. And that's why I say stick to your core values and stick to what your vision is. And it's going, like you said, it's not going to happen tonight, and it's going to take time. I remember when I started that in my college career, I was over a chapter, we were talking about the charter and the chapter and all that. And it was tough for me because I've never been in a leadership position. And what I found out was the main thing, stick to who you are and do not compromise. And again, why I like my people, because, the fifth is the bold in the foot, basically. You can do more things with each other than just trying to get along. So that's the advice I would give you, and I would give that.
Ashe, Brother Chizuro, do you have a response or a question?
No. I pretty much agree with what he said.
Brother Chizuro, are you here?
I said I pretty much agreed with what he said.
Okay.
Do you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay,
well, give your contact information out one more time, Brother Chizuro, so people can reach out to you. Thank you, Brother Eugene, for chiming in tonight. And if there's anything that you would like to say in closing, Brother Chizuro, I yield to you.
My contact information is 951-425-0708. That's the best way to reach me. I usually network on WhatsApp, but I might be trying to use Facebook Messenger, or I'm not too familiar with Zoom, but I'm also on Google Hangouts. My email is ACLUNIACHIZOROOKEKE@gmail.com. You can just text me your name, and I'll look you up. But if you think you could get a division started in your local city, hit me up. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida myself. But anyone in North Florida, we could work together, start a division. We need right now more people with technocratic skills and basically experience being presidents and secretaries. If we could get one strong division on the West Coast and one strong division on the East Coast, we could start meeting people back home in Africa that have the same vision and get people on board with reorganizing the continent, getting people in the diaspora voice and resources so we could grow together.
Well, thank you again for taking the time to be here tonight. Thank you for all the time that it's taken to even get to this far, because I know you and I have had conversations over the past year during this process, and it has not been easy. So your perseverance is definitely going to pay off, and I'm excited to hear that you're in Jacksonville. I know Brother Stanley down there with his economic development concept as well. So forward march, my brother, and you're welcome back here on Sign of the Times anytime you get ready. So just holler at a sister and let me know.
Yep. Hey, somebody needs to holler at Stanley and say he needs to get with the program, because I ain't heard from him. And he don't get on WhatsApp. He don't email back. I don't know what he's doing. But I know Stanley. But it was good talking to you, Queen.
Likewise, my brother. We'll talk again soon. And I'm going to connect him with Brother Allen, Brother Eugene. I don't know if you're on Facebook or not, but I'm going to connect him with Brother Allen so they can go ahead and link up, okay?
Okay, sure. Cool. And I would like to face myself too. That would be interesting.
Okay, sounds good. We'll make it happen.
Okay.
All right, everybody, we're going to go ahead and close out for tonight. We'll be back on Friday with Sister Elsie Johnson, speaking on the Michael Powell case the brother who we talked about him previously. He's 2,300 in one eye, 2,600 in the other eye, and being basically kidnapped in the state of Alabama. So we're looking forward to getting an update from her. Until then, if you need me, give me a call, area code 513-913-2691, 513-913-2691. Reach out to me on Facebook, Queen Tahira. Instagram, Queen_Tahira, and on Twitter at Queen Tahira. So I love you, everybody. I'm glad to be back. We are going to be back and forth with our schedule. So until then, just look out for the announcements from us. And if you'd like to get on our mail, reach out to me again. My phone number, area code 513-913-2691. We're going to close out with Nas. I know I can. I'll see you on Friday, everybody. Salute.
Doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy. It takes much practice. Like, I met a woman who's becoming a star. She was very beautiful, leaving people in awe. Singing songs, Lena Horne, but the younger version. Hung with the wrong person, got a strong one. Sniffing up drugs, all in her nose. Could have died so young, now looks ugly and old. No fun, cause now when she reaches for hugs, people hold their breath. Cause she smells of corrosion and death. Watch the company you keep and the crowds you bring. Cause they came to do drugs and you came to sing. So if you're gonna be the best, I'ma tell you how. Put your hands in the air and take the vow. I know I can.
I know I can.
Be what I wanna be.
Be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it.
If I work hard at it.
I'll be where I wanna be. Again, this is for grown-looking girls who's only 10. The ones who watch videos and do what they see. As cute as can be, up in the club with fake ID. Careful, before you meet a man with HIV. You can host a TV like Oprah Winfrey. Whatever you decide, be careful, some men be rapists. So act your age, don't pretend to be older than you are. Give yourself time to grow. You thinking he can give you wealth, but so young boys. You can use a lot of help, you know. You're thinking life's all about smoking and ice. You don't want to be my age and can't read and write. Begging different women for a place to sleep at night. Smart boys turn them in and do whatever they wish. If you believe you can achieve, then say it like this. I know I can.
I know I can.
Be what I wanna be.
Be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it.
If I work hard at it.
I'll be where I wanna be.
I'll be where I wanna
now,
be.
Now, go.
We came to this country. We were kings and queens, never porch monkeys. There was empires in Africa called Kush, Timbuktu, where every race came to get books to learn from black teachers who taught Greeks and Romans, Asian Arabs, and gave them gold. When gold was converted to money, it all changed. Money then became empowerment for Europeans. The Persian military invaded. They heard about the gold, the teachings, and everything sacred. Africa was almost robbed naked. Slavery was money, so they began making slave ships. Egypt was a place that Alexander the Great went. He was in shock that the mountains were black faces. Shot up their nose to impose what basically still goes on today, you see. If the truth is told, the youth can grow. They'll learn to survive until they gain control. Nobody says you have to be gangsters. Read more, learn more, change the globe. Ghetto children, do your thing. Hold your head up, little man, you're a king. Young princess, when you get your wedding ring, your man is saying, she's my queen.
I know I can.
I know I can.
Be what I wanna be.
Be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it.
If I work hard at it.
I'll be where I wanna be.
I'm not afraid to
y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music.